If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
We did not seek to have an injunction, as was the case involving Vice President Agnew, in enjoining the grand jury. We have targeted the utilization of the temporary immunity here to the subpoena. That's correct.
Well, in other words, it's okay for the grand jury to investigate, except it can't use the traditional and most effective device that grand juries have typically used, which is the subpoena.
It can't use a subpoena targeting the president. And under his Article II responsibilities and the Supremacy Clause, that is our view would be inappropriate and unconstitutional. So we have not challenged the...
I don't understand. Your theory in terms of distraction and all that would seem to go much farther than resisting the subpoena. I don't know why you don't resist the investigation in its entirety, or why your theory wouldn't lead to that.
Well, our position is that criminal process against the president, and that's what we're talking about, that's what's before the court. Criminal process targeting the president is a violation of the Constitution. We did not seek to enforce an injunction or seek an injunction against the grand jury investigating the situation with the president.
You focus on the distraction to the president, but I don't know why in Clinton versus Jones we were not persuaded that the distraction in that case meant that discovery could not proceed. And you know, there are different things that distract different people, but I would have thought the discovery in a case like Clinton versus Jones, even though civil, would be distracting, as you argue the grand jury proceedings are here.
Well, Clinton versus Jones, of course, was in federal court.
So this is Jay Sekulow, if you don't know.
Court. Clinton versus Jones was a civil case.
People need to know what the hell's
this
happening.
This is a criminal
now.
Case. And as this court noted on page 691 of its opinion, if, in fact, the Clinton versus Jones case had originated in a state court proceeding, it would raise different issues than separation of powers, concerns over local prejudice. And in footnote 13, this court said that any direct control by a state court over the president may implicate concerns that are different than the interbranch disputes under separation of powers.
So Jay Sekulow, because you guys were probably like, what the hell is this? There was no setup. Jay Sekulow was arguing this case. This was before, this is Justice John Roberts that you heard responding. Now, welcome to the show. DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter, official DanaLash on Facebook, channel 240 Pluto TV via the first. Yeah, I mean, you got to tell people what the hell's going on. You can't play them a 3-damn-minute bit of audio and be like, here, guess who it is. I don't know if you want to buy into the hype of everything that's coming down by there were 3 Supreme Court cases. One had to do with Creek Nation, which is basically like honoring treaties to Creek Nation, etc. The 2 that everybody's talking about had to do with the president's tax returns. One of them was Cy Vance, which was this was from the state of New York, and the other one was a House subpoena. So there's 2 separate cases here, and the decision that was rendered by the Supreme Court. And I see some people sort of freaking out. Like, I was just actually reading a deeper dive on this response from Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio. And it was a 7-2 decision. Now, this was the one specifically from the Manhattan DA as it relates to the president's tax returns. Don't get the 2 cases mixed up, because there's nuance and there's different implications for each. So the Manhattan DA, he thinks, Jim Jordan was saying that he did not like the Supreme Court's decision. The word that was used and attributed to him was terrifying. And because the court ruled no citizen is above common duty to release evidence, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, what they're saying is, look, if there's a criminal investigation, it doesn't matter if you are the president of the United States, you can still be subject to certain, you know, grand jury subpoenas, et cetera. And this is true. And I don't know anyone who would believe otherwise. I mean, you have to have individuals that are accountable to law, no matter what position that they are in. However, the big thing here is that this is not a victory for Democrats. So when all the, I'm not going to sit here and get into the weeds of it, because I don't think that anyone gives a rat's ass about the weeds of it. I think you just want to know, so what in the hell does this mean? What the hell does it mean? What does this mean, you know, for at the end of the day? Well, they're kicking it down to a lower court to say, just continue relitigating this. This is that's all this is. And they're saying that there's certain things that no matter who you are not immune from, unless you're a Democrat with the last name Clinton, that you are not immune from. That's it. But I also think that this is horrible. You know, that's true. You know, I'm absolutely right on that. I mean, unless you're a white Democrat and your last name is Clinton, you are not immune. And the concern that, and I understand what Jim Jordan is getting at, his concern originates from the perspective of IRS abuse during the Tea Party days, which absolutely happened. And I will physically punch somebody in the throat, get mad at me for denying that this happened, because I literally know physical people. I've seen documents. I've seen I've seen pictures of people coming to their property where the IRS was actually used as a weaponized agency to go after Tea Party groups. I know people who waited 3-4 years to get any kind of acknowledgement from the IRS so that they could get their proper tax status and they could exercise their free speech, which I think when you have to petition the government to get permission to exercise your free speech, it's not free speech, and I give a middle finger to all of those requirements. However, they were purposefully trying to stymie any kind of dissent, any kind of organized dissent especially. And so I understand that that's where Jim Jordan's concern is coming from. However, I want to caution people in going over the top with that, because you're giving Democrats an unearned victory. These were neither, I don't believe, tactical nor optical victories for Democrats, because they're slapped down. I mean, basically, the Mazars case, the decision in that was that so the House was acting in a partisan manner, and that it was partisan persecution. That ultimately is what that decision comes down to. So, of course, you know, you're going to have the left that's going to try to spin this as being some kind of great thing. We're going to talk to Andy McCarthy about this later on. But they're trying to spin this as some like great thing, Trump v. Vance. But it's not that necessarily. They're just, you don't have to. What they said is that the president cannot be, there is no immunity for any kind of criminal investigation like that. And you don't have to meet a new litmus test or I think the phrase that was used was a heightened need in order to substantiate a request of that kind. So that's the Vance case. And it was a 7-2 ruling, and some people were trying to get all mad at Gorsuch and Kavanaugh because they said, oh, they ended up siding with liberals. Can we stop phrasing crap this way? I'm so damn tired of this crap. And if I see people on the right start to do this, I'm just going to start randomly, indiscriminately slapping the hell out of people because I'm done. Can we just be real about what this is? Do not allow yourselves to get played by grifters, because the people who use this kind of language to describe something that they claim to have, you know, serious respect and reverence for, except they don't do the due diligence of proving it with the language used to describe what actually happened, those people are grifters and they are not worth your time. Do not allow grifters to play you as some sort of emotional fiddle. Do not. And that's exactly what this language does. And honestly, show me somebody, have somebody I know say that to me. I'll slap them too. I'm just in a slapping mood. So the whole point, they didn't side with the liberals. What they did is they actually sided with, and they just simply followed. It wasn't even siding with anything. It was simply following and interpreting consistent existing law that even the more liberal justices had to ascribe to also. That's all that was. To put it any other way is, quite frankly, bull blank. It is. And I question the intelligence. I question the academic background. I question the character, and I question the motivation of anybody who does otherwise, and so should you. Do not get played like an emotional fiddle by grifters. That stuff infuriates me. Absolutely to no end. That's why I hate stupid headlines like that. There are a number of left-leaning websites that I just know what I'm getting into when I go to one, but there are certain ones that I'm just like, I can't even trust you. Why the hell am I at your website? Your website's garbage. Why the hell am I even here? So, as you can see, the cynicism has continued into today. I had the worst migraine of my life last night. It was awful. And then I immediately was like, it's the Rona. It's the first thing I thought of. I'm not even going to lie. It's like, it's the Rona. It's probably what it is. So that is, so for what you need to know, that's what those two decisions were. And we'll talk more about it. But nobody's going to get Trump's tax returns. This is stupid. And it's not required to run for office either. Anyone who tells you that's a dumb grifter, don't believe them either. Meanwhile, as all of this is happening, the world is ignoring Hong Kong. This, I think, is fascinating. I was looking at a number of stories about this last night. So remember how free Hong Kong used to be? While everyone over here is getting butthurt about statues and everything else, they've just banned any kind of protests. It's protest songs and any political expression at any and all Hong Kong schools. Yeah. Their education secretary said this yesterday. They're all specifically banned from singing Hong Kong's protest anthem, Glory to Hong Kong. They're not allowed to form human chains. They said that schools are obliged to stop such activities by whatever means at their disposal. So they're not allowed to do anything like that. They're cracking down on it. They are cracking down on this. And you have people over there who have been, that are in the streets fighting against tyranny, while here in the United States, you have people in the streets who are demanding more tyranny. And China sees Hong Kong's failure. Honestly, I want you to look at it in this perspective. This is what the left does. So at schools in Hong Kong, universities included, they said that schools are these breeding grounds for radicalization. And because the universities, that's where most of the most intense protests were being held. Now, see, the right is just like, okay, well, you meet speech with more speech. The fascists here in the United States are like, no, that speech has to be squelched. You are seeing Antifa at a powerful and national level in Hong Kong right now, cracking down on any and all free expression. So they're really focusing on the universities. They are essentially making the universities a free speech area, or safe space area from free speech. They're making all of the universities, all of the schools, a safe space so that people aren't subjected to protest songs and protest chants and all of this. And they said one of the secretaries here for their educational department said that, you know, that Hong Kong anthem just contains, and this is literally the quote, contains strong political messages, and it's really closely related to these social and political incidents of so much violence and illegality. Unbelievable. So this is what you get with Antifa on that scale. So coming up, Joe Biden decides to completely copy Donald Trump where it concerns mitigating any kind of economic damage with buying American. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beet Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or The First, Channel 248 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
Guys, I'm not even playing. I'm like, this would actually be a legit consideration. You can move to Barbados for a year and work remotely. Yes, this is exactly true. So Barbados is doing away with sanctions that make it difficult for people to get visas and work permits and work in the Caribbean and basically just vacation there permanently. They're opening up to tourists for long stays in an attempt to boost their economy. So their prime minister announced the 12-month Barbados welcome stamp is what it's called. It's in his latest speech. So they are... The incentive allows, they're allowing visitors to stay for up to a year while continuing their online employment. And they, after everybody saw all these companies really successfully operating virtually, they decided, okay, we're going to do this. Barbados is banking on people who want to swap their home office life to where they can literally sit on the beach and work. And they're like, hey, we got Wi-Fi. I mean, they're like really rolling out the red carpet with their Wi-Fi and all of that stuff. And I'm like, this is how you become Barbados, my best friend. So I'm just saying, you know, Radio America, I feel like there's something here that we could look at. I hate these pictures. I'm looking at these. I don't even want to talk about anything else right now. And of course, obviously, you have to be tested and you get a mandatory test and you have to isolate for 48 hours because that's how long it takes for their tests to come back. So that's it. That actually sounds flipping amazing. Speaking of like quarantines, etc., Daily Mail has this story about how a dude in Oneida, New York, he was arrested because he broke mandatory quarantine several times, but he was released because of bail reform laws. So what the hell's the point? All of, and apparently, now he's not named because it's a HIPAA situation, but he was released because of bail reform laws. I have been reliably informed that only one-handed actual pirates should be considered for this role. Variety says that Jude Law is going to play Captain Hook in Disney's live-action Peter Pan. I am going to protest because clearly this, why is this able-bodied person playing this character? We really legitimately need a one-handed actual physical pirate for this role. I have been reliably informed of this. Idaho hasn't stopped shaking since March 31st, and geologists have no idea why. They said that on March 31st, they had a 6.5 magnitude earthquake that rolled through Sawtooth Mountain Range, and they said that it's been shaking nonstop. They've had like a ton of different aftershocks, and geologists are trying to figure out what's going on, but they're not quite sure. Oh boy. All right. So we have a lot of other stuff. Don't go anywhere. Mask shaming. It actually came to my hood. Stick with us.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
You're coming close to me. You're coming close to me.
Back off! Dan! Threaten me again! Dan! Back the f*** up or your f***ing phone down!
Gosh dang. The mask business is making regular American suburbanites, making them into gladiators. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, channel 248 Pluto TV via the first. Yeah, apparently it's like at the Costco in my hood, in my neighborhood, there was like apparently somebody, everybody's got to videotape each other now, which is so annoying. I can't, like I'm taping you. Cool, good job there, Kyle. Okay. But they had, there was a one guy who is like one of the like ignorant resistance type people who got mad and was trying to mask shame another guy. And I'm like, behind your big bad cloth mask that only has 3% efficacy, you're trying to mask shame other people. Good job, Kyle. Go ahead. And the guy like lifted up his shirt and then I don't know. It was just, I'm like, this is, what are you people doing? Stop mask shaming. Mind your damn business. You're like a despicable human being. If I'm going to go mask shame this person, watch me record them. You're annoying. You're annoying. I mean,
it's the narrative pushed by media and others that you're a murderer if you're not wearing a mask. So people are now reacting to people as though that's a true statement.
Yeah, well, that's the way that they acted with healthcare. Remember right. When Democrats were like, "You're literally killing people," but we literally weren't. If you wanted to be, just to play for the sake of devil's argument, the educated would say rhetorically. Right. Just saying, right. But that wasn't even true. But it is. There. These people are murderers. And except no. Like who was it? Who's the audio? I've seen so many of them. Somebody was saying, well, yeah, if you're a murderer if you don't wear a mask, or you're as good as dead if you don't wear a mask. That's not even remotely in any way accurate. You fear mongering America hater. not even remotely accurate. It's not. But that's how people are replying.
Survival rate is over 99%. So.
But we're going to mask shame?
Right.
Mind your own business. Seriously, how sad and pathetic is your lowly life that you get off mask shaming people? And it's always these like bougie people, these flabby bougie people who are in these cloth masks. Oh, good job for you. You care 3% more than the person without the mask. Great job. Golf clap. You can go back to your country club and you can sit here and pretend and pose that you're such a big lifesaver because you're wearing a mask with 3% efficacy. And you probably spent like $30 on it because you got it at Nordstrom. Good job there, bouge. Good job. I can't stand. It's turning. This is why I'm totally fine with quarantine. And in fact, I think people should quarantine longer. I mean, just those people specifically, not the rest of us. Because I just do not have the tolerance. I am George Carlin in a female form with a slightly cleaner mouth and no drug habit. That's me. I can't deal with it. I have zero patience. I have zero tolerance for this. I went through the toddler years already. Okay? I went through that already. I'll be damned if I do it with grown-ass people. I can't. And can I also say this too? In the area where I live, we have like three different parent Facebook groups now. Because the first one, apparently the lady was like, this is my whole life, is administrating this Facebook group, and I'm going to show it by how insane I am. And then the second one turned into, we're the progressive mob, and every single time you post something, we're going to descend on you because we get off on demonstrating this kind of like pathetic, dorky power. And then the third one is normal, and that's the one I'm in. But the second one, I have like all these girlfriends who are in this group, and every single day I see screenshots of insane stuff. Like a friend of mine, just all she did was say, okay, Texas is saying that masks are going to be mandatory and that it looks like it'll be 10 years and up, but the American Academy of Pediatrics, here's a statement by them talking about, you know, 10, actually even under 15, here's, you know, how they feel about kids wearing masks, and they're recommending no masks in schools, etc. So what gives? She asked a question, and out of the 43 comments that were underneath her post on the town parent group, they were all, no, not a damn one of them were answering. In fact, there was another woman who said, well, of course, maggots like you, M-A-G-A-T-S, maggots like you. Clever. And I'm just like, Karen, you know something? I get it that you're upset because you haven't been able to go to Lululemon 3 times a week and go and look at the latest and greatest in butt lifting leggings. But that doesn't mean that you can take, you know, your bougie suburban white BS out on everybody else. Okay. Like, take your Democrat BS, go find you a yoga store that's open, and just engage in some retail therapy, because it's going to make your life better, and I promise you it's going to make everybody else's life better. And I swear to you, it was all these women. And then you have some of the dudes who are indistinguishable from women, right? Like, if I saw you out at a public pool, I would ask you to put a top on. Those guys. Because I wouldn't know at a distance. I'm like, I see breasts. Cover it. That's what I'm talking about. So, no, I'm not going to be in any way courteous, because these people deserve to be ridiculed. And it just so happens that ridicule is my native tongue. So the mask shaming, I mean, there was a fight at a Dairy Queen over masks. The DQ, y'all. There was a fight at the DQ. This is in Long Island. A Dairy Queen customer off Long Island was flipped off by the manager after he asked them why employees weren't wearing masks. Brandon Trotta was at the DQ on Route 112 in Medford over the weekend, and he told NBC, because they did a story on it. This is how pathetic media is. Somebody at DQ made you mad? Let's send out a news crew. Screw off. Who are you people? Gosh dang. Remember when oh, that's a local story, we're not going to cover it. Oh my gosh, now that's all media wants to do is blow this stuff up. So he just was like, you're making ice cream for my family. Why aren't you wearing a mask? And then he said that the lady who came up to the window to speak to him also wasn't wearing a mask. He told the cashier, I'm not going to take those. I asked if he could remake them with the mask. You know, can you just oh, geez, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And then they said they had an expletive-filled argument that Trotta captured on his cell phone, and the manager was giving Trotta two middle fingers, and he said, you're going to be on Facebook, which is the new equivalent of World Star! It's like, World Star! Because of DQ. A fight at the damn DQ. You know the only thing that should be happening at a DQ? The only thing that needs to happen at a DQ is you need to be like, okay, just turn it upside down. How is my, are the M&Ms, is my ice cream coming out? Like, is my blizzard cool? That's all that needs to be happening at a DQ. I'm pretty sure, I personally don't think that the Rona is going to be surviving in your frozen treat. That's me. And I say this as a germaphobe. And by the way, blizzards are my jam. I try to be keto. The M&M one. M&M vanilla softs, M&M and vanilla.
Has been the banana split blizzard.
No, I don't even care about that.
What?
The little M&M, the M&M blizzard.
Although I'm not against the M&M blizzard, that's just a lot of chocolate.
I know.
But the banana
and
split
I try to eat healthy and I'm keto, but I promise you, if you, like if it, Pennywise the Clown, appeared in a ravine, appeared in one of those runoffs in the street and said, psst, I have a blizzard down here. I would be the kid in the raincoat. I would be that person. I would go down there with Pennywise the Clown. Not even, no fear. Not even kidding. Like if I was a politician and someone was like, hey, I'll give you a year's supply of blizzards whenever you want it. Snap your fingers and it's right there. For the okay, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'll be straight up honest about it. I told you, I have a price. I've maintained this for how long? A decade at least. I want a Hogwarts castle. I can totally be bought. These are my terms. Well, I want a Dodge Demon. My husband says I'm not allowed to have it because I'll wrap it around a tree. Little does he know, I won't wrap it around that badly. But I want a Hogwarts castle, selective immortality that I can also bestow upon others at my choosing, and I can revoke it upon my choosing. The Dodge Demon, right? Simple. And I would consider adding to that the lifetime supply of a DQ blizzard, specifically M&M. It's not going to work if it's like another variety. But these are my terms. You can meet them or not. You meet them or get lost. These are my terms. Everybody has a price. That's mine. I've laid it out. Been real simple.
Immortality.
Yeah. It can happen. It's science, right? It's science. But like people get mad. Thankfully, I've never seen anything like this. What would you do if you saw something like this go down? If you were out and about, what would you do?
I guess today you just film it.
I don't know if I. Well, I probably would.
Yeah, you
just What I probably would do is act like I'm at a UFC match, and I would do the ringside commentary while live streaming it. That's probably what I'd do.
I'd demand my order be taken.
And then I'd get pictures with everybody involved.
Can't just stand here when you got dilly bars right there.
Yeah. World star. So Trotta said that the owner of the Dairy Queen franchise received an apology. And that he's like, well, I don't want the employee to be fired now. Oh, you can't put that nightmare back in the box. Okay. It's all out there. Every day. Don't you get the general feeling that every damn day there's like a group of unemployed people walking around with just like randomly with torches and pitchforks looking for something to go about, right? Doesn't it feel like that? They're always looking for a Frankenstein. They're every day. And you just, and we wake up every day going, who's it going to be today? Who are they coming after today, right? When's it going to happen? What's it going to happen in your Costco? I mean, it's a Costco. You go in and you purchase mass quantities of items. It's a Costco, right? Like one of my favorite pastimes is going in to like a Costco and getting a giant diet drink and just like strolling around, leaning on my cart like it's a walking aid and looking at everything, you know? I mean, you can get like a twofer of Nutella where it's like 50 gazillion ounces and you know you're never going to eat it in your lifetime. But you're like, I need this because why? I need it. Don't even have anywhere to put it, but I need it. That's my favorite thing in the world to do.
But insisting a business, though, do something.
Oh, I hate that.
That is, to me, the worst. So
I hate that crap.
That's where I draw the line right there.
I'm not going to make anybody bake the cake. Look, if you're a business and you're like, we'd like for you to wear masks, and I want what you got, I'm going to wear a mask. I don't mind. I'm also a germaphobe. And I feel like if you're saying that you want people to wear masks, you know something that I don't. Someone up in your business is dirty. So I'm going to wear a mask because you're dirty. But I want something you got, dirty people. I want something that you have. I'm okay with that.
So if I'm upset at Dairy Queen for not wearing a mask when they're making my dilly bar or whatever.
Well, they're not going to make your dilly bar. They would unwrap they make it
dilly
for
bars.
You.
You know how they make dilly bars.
Am I thinking of the right thing? Is that the dipped thing?
They actually do the soft serve onto the stick and the whole nut. I've seen them do it. But, if that's the case and you don't want your ice cream with some,
then dip it
someone,
your damn self.
Go get it yourself.
Be like, may I walk back here? I'll sign a waiver.
This idea to force people to do what it is you want to do
you're basically saying make the cake.
Yeah.
Make the cake, bigot. Exactly make the cake. That's what it is. I know it's uncomfortable. Consistency is not always comfortable. Sometimes I don't want to be consistent. Sometimes I'm like, damn it. I don't want to be consistent. I just want to be me and be the boss of me and everybody leave me alone. You're not the police of me. Go away. I don't want to be consistent all the time. It's really hard to be this accurate as often as I am.
It's a burden.
It's a burden. You know, it's a burden that I will gladly bear, of which the yoke I will gladly bear, just, you know, for the betterment of society. So coming up, in West Vancouver, you know, they have a mural. A pride crosswalk, right?
Yeah.
They are mad and they are searching for the criminal who drove on their crosswalk because there's a tire mark on it.
Is it on the road? The crosswalk?
It is insane to think that tire marks would be on something you painted on the road. We're going to discuss the story coming up. And I have more Home Depot. People get mad at Home Depot. And all kinds of stuff. You don't want to miss a single bit of it.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
One of my favorite songs, Simple Minds, amazing band. So underappreciated and underrated. This is one of my top three favorite songs. Love Simple Minds. We had this huge conversation on break about, because Rachel's never had a blizzard from DQ, and Kane and Steve and I are just like, what? And then Kane and I started talking about Ted Drew's frozen custard in St. Louis. Our hometown in St. Louis, it's a thing. It's Ted Drew's frozen custard. Everybody in St. Louis knows this. People come, you know, miles around to have Ted Drew's. When I lived in the city, we were there every weekend. And we were joking about how in today's era, I don't know if Ted Drew's can still do the old time commercials like they used to, because they would have Ted himself go at the very end of all the commercials. It's really good, guys and gals. And now it's like 30 seconds of their commercials would have to be, it's really good, cis guys and cis gals. And then just going through an assortment of pronouns. And Kane's like, he could only get 6 digits of the number out anymore because all the ad time is going to be going through all the pronouns. I hadn't had me Ted Drew's in a long time. They were even selling it in the stores there, weren't they?
Yeah, and not only that, they have a vending machine in Lambert Airport there in St. Louis, where if you're
they get them windows that were boarded up after that tornado 8 years ago finally fixed.
That was
Lambert, the actual physical airport, hates me.
Of all
like
the
they
things.
Tweeted at me one time because I was like 3 years after the tornado and y'all got the plywood up and they were like yeah, blah blah blah, and they just got all sassy with me on Twitter, and I'm like, you're a damn airport, shut up. The world. Like tweeting at me from the damn airport account. Shut up.
But it's so good that machine survived all the problems that Lambert had, and it's still there. And
it's holy.
Yeah, it really is. It's a St. Louis icon.
It is. Yeah, that and Emo's. You don't mess with those two things. Yeah. The thin pizza crust and then the Emo's. What is it? The Provel cheese, which is like a made-up cheese everywhere else. But we're like, you know, Provel. And everyone outside of St. Louis is going, what the hell? What? Totally. That's not even a cheese. And we're like, yes, it is. It's better than brie. I would just get it with the car. The moment they started selling it in the plastic cartons at the store, I literally would just get the carton and I would snack on it all day.
Seriously?
I would just eat the cheese all day long. This is so good. Oh, all right. So we have on the way. I know I'm going to tell you about this thing in West Vancouver, because apparently when you paint protest things on roads now, your car is expected to levitate above it when going over it. You're not to drive on it because that's a hate crime or something. We've got that for you. Also, even more, we have more cancel culture because some chick got targeted by the Twitter mob because she was dating a Republican. She's an actress. We've got that as well. Tons of other stuff. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show coming up.
It's The Dana Show.
Nearly a decade ago, Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, was founded by freedom-loving Americans to help you support the values in which you believe. A portion of every dollar earned goes to support organizations that fight for First and Second Amendment rights. Also, they support sanctity of life and the needs of veterans and first responders. For a limited time, you can take advantage of Patriot Mobile's Let Freedom Ring promotion. Now through July 11th, get incredible discounts like a free phone or get a free month of service and free activation. High-value commitment plans to fit your budget. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com and use promo code FREEDOM at checkout. Their U.S.-based sales and support team will help you get unlimited talk and data and no hidden fees on their dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks. Call today to get the biggest promotion of the year. 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com, promo code FREEDOM. Let freedom ring with Patriot Mobile. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, danalash.com as well. My book, Grace Canceled, folks. We have a crime that West Vancouver PD is trying to solve. Investigators want to speak with a driver who put a tire track on the Pride crosswalk. A tire track on something painted on the road. The pictures of what I think might be a Mustang, hell if I know, are turning. It's a car turning at a three-way stop. Car didn't peel out or do anything. It just got tire marks on the rainbow crosswalk. West Vancouver PD says they want to speak with the driver responsible for this incident. Incident, they say. And they said that they did identify the driver and thank of involved in the incident. And they thank everyone who came forward with information. Okay. You painted something on the road and someone drove on it. No. See, in Vancouver, everybody, the cars, when you come to a protest thing in the road, the car is to tuck its wheels underneath and levitate over that particular portion before the wheels inspector gadget down on back onto the pavement. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Who would have thought, though, that a car would put a tire track on something painted on the road? The car's a bigot. That's the only thing that we can come to. That's the only conclusion. The car's a bigot. The driver's like, I didn't even know my car did it. I mean, I knew that my car was having some problems with having an open mind on things, but I didn't realize that the car was so bigoted and like so anti-gay. So now in Vancouver, make sure you're going to have to physically get out of your car and make sure that your car does not leave any marks on any murals that have been painted in the street. Because bigot. That's why. This is the world that we're in. And if we do have aliens that come and visit us, can I go with them when they leave? Because, I mean, in absence of an asteroid destroying everything, that seems like the next best option, right? Oh my gosh, I can't deal. This is, everything's awful. So does anyone who's on the left, when they see stuff like this, do they go, might be going a little too far? Just a hair, you know?
I hope.
Does anybody stop and think that? Does anybody think of that realization? So they painted the Black Lives, they're doing it today, like right now, I think. Bill de Blasio, to make everybody forget about all the old people that New York killed in nursing homes with the Rona. And to make everybody forget about, you know, Bill de Blasio and the bad city policies that make cops target minorities. I mean, I'm just going to get this Democrat city, Democrat regulations, Democrat city council making Democrat rules that their Democrat chiefs make their police follow. So they're painting right on Fifth Avenue, right in front of Trump Tower. I guess it's supposed to make Trump mad or something. I don't know. But it's just, it is interesting to me how in a span of several years, you can go from Black Lives Matter protesting in the streets and screaming pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, to Now the city's going to let them paint their slogans on the street on Fifth Avenue. Yeah. I mean, okay. That's where we are. That's from A to B. I saw somebody who was some libertarian trying to say, well, you can separate, you know, the Black Lives Matter phrase from the organization. First off, I don't think you can. And here's why. There's true. One's a slogan and then one's an organized group. But this slogan came about because it was the slogan of the organized group. And you cannot remove one. You can't remove one without noting the fascistic spirit with which it was created, because it wasn't created as a call for equality. It was created as a call to silence anything that disagrees with Marxism, right? I mean, anything that disagrees with any kind of Marxist principle. So the mural, it's that they're going to create them in each of the city's five boroughs. And the moment they get them all done, they're magically going to create an invisible force field over the city of Manhattan and into racisms, just like that. It's going to end everything. You know, he hasn't had anything to say. Bill de Blasio and all these other people haven't had anything to say about all the crime overtaking the area, but I'll be damned. Murals, guys. So what happens is if somebody accidentally turns and their car makes a bigoted mark on something, are they going to go after them like West Vancouver PD did? I'm curious. I have to share this cancel culture story with you. I don't even know who this chick is. Who's Jodie Comer? She's with Killing Eve. I have no idea who this chick is. But the reason why she came up is because she's a British actress. She's like a BAFTA winner and all this stuff. And she's on this BBC show that I've never seen. And on Twitter, some Twitter rando found out or suspects that Jodie Comer, who is 27, is dating a man named James Burke. I feel like, you remember when, what's his name, Tim from Mean Girls was like reporting on all the gossip in the school, like it was a news report? I feel like that at this moment. One person on Twitter says Jodie Comer, 27, was in a relationship with another rando, a lacrosse player named James Burke. So it's just like some dude who she knows, and immediately they doxed him, and they think that he is... they even found his Spotify playlist. And they said that we found one record showing that Mr. Burke from Boston is a registered Republican voter. And now they think that he's a Trump supporter. And now they are targeting her with tons of hate. And now it is in Daily Mail, one of the biggest publications in the world. And they have pictures from when he was in high school. And all these people are saying she needs to cancel herself. And she's canceled and she's a horrible person. She's dating a Trump supporter while she's portraying an LGBT character. You know, because the ultimate show of respect and equality to gay people is denying them agency to be able to determine what political party and politician they choose themselves voluntarily to support. I mean, there are no gay people at all who are Republicans. None. I know of no gay Republicans. There are no gay people in the Trump administration either. No gay people, no women, no black people, no Hispanic people, none. This is so sad that you're going to run down like some chick's friend. They don't even have proof that they're dating, but they assume that they are. There was a piece that was on Quillette, and I thought this headline was interesting. It wasn't my cancellation that bothered me. It was the cowardice of those who let it happen. And that's true. This individual was canceled in Canada, University of Toronto. Lady who wrote it, Margaret Wendt. And she touches on the same thing This was published today. What did I talk about yesterday? The Thermidorian reaction. Reign of Terror. French Revolution. She says that, she writes that she was canceled by one of Canada's quainter institutions, but the Cultural Revolution has entered its mass spectacle Reign of Terror phase. Reign of Terror phase, and my story made news across Canada. What did she do? She simply had a different opinion. What? I mean, insane. You can't have a different opinion because the Reign of Terror will come for you. And all the people on the left who think that the Reign of Terror won't come for them apparently forget the actual story of what happened during the Reign of Terror. I guess they forget what happened to Robespierre. I guess they forget, you know, what happened with all of it. And the funny thing about all of that is, I heard somebody, some historian was trying to say, oh, well, you know, and you could even say that the French Revolution, the ideas were far more reaching than, shut up, no, they weren't, because America's still free. What happened after the French Revolution? I'll be damned. They had a dictatorship there for a bit, and then they went back to a monarchy. Good job. You know, because it was so far reaching. No. And a constitutional monarchy as opposed to a constitutional republic, not even comparable. No, she had a different opinion. I mean, and she falsely thought that being on a university where out of every place in the world where free thought and the freedom to question everything and free and open discussion should be protected. I honestly don't know how people are educated anymore. When I was in college, devil's argument just to push forward a discussion and explore every facet of it. You could have nuanced debates. You could explore everything, and now that's forbidden. It's absolutely forbidden. And so this is someone who experienced the same thing. And she ended up losing her job, and the thing that bothered her was, it wasn't that she was ashamed to find herself canceled. She said that she was canceled with some of the finest minds in the world, but what got her, and she even noted that, she says, my own field, journalism, has become notoriously full of little inquisitors, which is true, were the people who were silent about it. There are a lot of people on the right who are silent about a lot of stuff, because you have a lot of people on the right. It's not that they're cowards. You have a lot of people in the pundit industry that are self-serving, and they're not actually conservative. They're conservative in so much as they think that the left is too saturated a field, and they think that if they can just capitalize on, you know, something on the right, that they can ride that. Everybody wants a damn cable news contract. Honestly, that's what it is. Everybody wants to be a podcaster, or everybody wants to be a Fox News contributor. And all of these people will bend over backwards, and they will be silent when they should speak up. They will ignore things and look the other way because it makes it easier for them. They try too hard to be liked by everybody instead of just being right and being brave and being bold and speaking out. I find that detestable. It really is disgusting. Because it puts the onus on people who have bigger balls to actually go out and really push the envelope and really say the things that needs to be said. And all of these people stay in the shadow of these other heavy lifters, but yet they reap all of the benefits of it. Don't think I ain't seeing them. I am. I've been watching them a long time. But that's one of the things that that irks me, I think, the most about the right, is because they are very, and ambition's good. But I've seen a lot of people sacrifice principle and allow good people to be taken down because of their ambition. Because they feel as though that they would be promoting that other individual by speaking up in their defense. That is absolutely true. Don't think that conservatives and Republicans are somehow exempt from this because that they're more virtuous because they're conservatives or Republicans. That would be your biggest mistake, to think that. It's sad. We have more to come, including... The New York Times is already trying to help Biden weasel out of debates. I'm going to share that with you. NBC says that 50% of their workforce is going to be all people of color and women. And I'm just like, why not just have 50% of your workforce just do journalism well? That's not an option, apparently. We've got that. Newt Gingrich will be joining us a little bit later on as well.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right. So, I think people need to be spanked more. Campus reform kind of proves this. Young Americans are willing to give up First Amendment rights to avoid offending others. I think other people need to get over being offended. Campus reform surveyed a bunch of young Americans about the role that universities play in monitoring speech on social media. And they said, yeah, they will totally turn over our social media accounts for inspection because we love being just completely controlled. They didn't say that last part, but they did say that they would totally turn their... That's just terrifying. Gosh, dang. Apparently, DFW, the airport in my area, actually, they're the busiest in the world by default. It's DFW is now still is right now the busiest airport in the world. Apparently, the only place for flights are in it's always been a huge airport, a very busy airport. But I guess so many others are shut down. Our flights are limited and we have a hub here. So, yeah. A Delta flight from Florida with 43 passengers on board had to make an emergency landing at JFK because a bird totally hit the front of the plane and caved in, like punched in the whole front nose part of the plane. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Craziest thing. I mean, what kind of bird does that? Like a raptor? That doesn't even fly, but gosh dang, it was a Delta Airbus A319. It was going from Palm Beach to LaGuardia, but it had to land at JFK because as it was approaching New York City, it damaged the plane's radar. So they had to perform an emergency landing. I mean, the whole front nose of that plane is punched in because of a bird. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. A drunken man forced his way into an Akron subway and made his own sandwich. He also took a block of Subway's cheese. A 44-year-old man. He's in jail. Police said he just like made his way behind the counter of a Subway and made his own sandwich. Don Peters was arrested without incident. Yeah, you know, I mean, kudos to try to make your own sandwich, but that's also not legal. Stay with us. Newt Gingrich joins us next.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Joe Biden will trounce Donald Trump in any debate. What he needs to do is be sure to get a picture side by side so they can see how fit and how trim Vice President Biden is and what a slob that Trump is. No, Tom Friedman is dead wrong on this. And I'm sure that the Biden people are. They'll have him very well briefed. They'll have the debates. I don't think Trump will show up.
Yeah, I don't think I think if anyone shows up to a debate, it's President Trump because he loves debates and he loves talking to people on camera. I mean, I think he loves retail politics. He loves it. Whereas other people, I think, endure it. Other politicians endure it. They go through it because they understand that it's part of the campaigning. I think he gets energy from it the same way that like solar power things get their fuel from the sun. I think that he gets energy from going out and talking to people. And he will sit there, and you've watched these speeches. He will sit there and he will just go on for an hour. And they're always funny. I like it better when he's kind of off the cuff because I think they're pretty funny. But, you know, he has a very different tone when he's on script. But this has been one of the stories that I've been watching to see all of, whether it's the New York Times, that it seems as though they're trying to redefine what the parameters should be for a debate. And they're suggesting that if Trump wants to debate Joe Biden, then he needs to release his tax returns. And also, the other thing that really stood out to me is they're demanding that these media entities that are hosting the debates employ real-time fact checkers. So basically, to have other people join the Biden team. That's essentially what they would like. And fact check the debate as it happens. So on this and other issues, joining me now, Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, New York Times bestselling author. His latest book, Trump and the American Future, Solving the Great Problems of Our Time. Very timely, in fact. Mr. Gingrich, always good to have you. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you. These are certainly interesting times.
Very much so. And I want to get into that as well with your book, because I think that your book also answers a soundbite that we have that we're going to play for you regarding Ilhan Omar. But I have to get your response on this idea that in order for Trump and Biden to have these debates, that these prerequisites must be met. I feel as though the media is working with Democrats to try to get Joe Biden out of these debates. Every soundbite we have of him, and it's not like I'm trying to cherry pick. I'm being very gracious and trying to find things that, you know, I can actually use to determine policy and what his mood's going to be going into November. It's very difficult because he just sounds not all put together. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't know. He survived all the debates with Democrats. And of course, that was a very short amount of time per appearance, but he did survive it. He didn't collapse. Mm. So you run a danger, I think, of underestimating him and getting people to a point where they think if he just walks on stage, he wins. And I'd be very cautious about assuming Biden is incompetent. Having said that, I actually think Biden is incompetent. And I think all of his presidential campaigns have indicated that. Huh. But I think more importantly, the president just has to establish very big, bold goals. And then he has to draw a very sharp contrast, not just with Biden, but with the Biden-Pelosi-Schumer machine, and draw clearly the difference. I mean, I just tweeted a few minutes ago, because Biden is in Pennsylvania, he gratuitously announced that he would take on the nuns over this contraception issue. And I raised the question, why would you declare a war on nuns as a guy who claims to be a good Catholic while going into a state that has a lot of Catholics? And it's just weird. But he's now so totally committed to the anti-American left that I think that that's got to be half of the Trump campaign. Mm. And the other half has to be what the president would do to make our lives better over the next 4 years.
Yeah, I think having that solution is so important for voters to see. And some of this, whenever I read, because it's very difficult for me to buy into a lot of the polling because 2016 was so wrong. It was just so incorrect. And I don't trust a lot of these media outlets that engage in this sort of gaslighting every single day with American voters to work with whatever polling entity it is and believe that what they're presenting us is an accurate or fair sample. But I keep hearing from some operatives, and I keep hearing from some strategists that the president needs to show that he's fighting more or that he is offering more solutions. I don't know that he could. I don't see any difference in how hard he's fighting for voters now or the solutions that he's offering voters in order to combat the economic fallout from the pandemic. Where do you think that this criticism is coming from on the right?
Well, part of it's just nervousness. I mean, part of it is just people, as you said, people look at these polls and they start to panic and they try to come up with some clever device. I went back and looked at Charlie Cook, who probably is as good as there is in Washington at analyzing elections. The day before the election in 16, literally the day before, he had Hillary with 278 electoral votes, Trump with 214, and the rest up in the air. Now, it turned out, of course, that he was just wrong. But the same people, they earn a living by talking, and therefore they have to keep talking even if they don't know anything. I think I do think Trump should offer very big positive things. And I noticed that the other day he said he was in favor, for example, of a holiday on paying the payroll tax, which would be an enormous boon to small businesses and to working Americans. I think that he was very visionary in proposing transparency in healthcare, something which the hospitals are fighting bitterly and the insurance companies are fighting. But 88% of the country believes they have the right to know, what the price is going to be before they do something.
Yeah.
So I think that there are issues he can lay out. And my view is the more this is an issue-oriented campaign, the worse off Biden is. You know, we didn't beat McGovern and we didn't beat Mondale by just beating them up about personality. We beat them because we told people what they really stood for. The same thing happened with Dukakis. We didn't beat Dukakis, even though he looked funny riding in a tank. We beat Dukakis by proving to the country that he was a left-wing, slightly weird Massachusetts politician who would be a bad president. And I think the danger is, when you get in with consultants, that they try to become clever. And I think that the key here is not to be clever, it's to go to the fundamentals. This is how Trump will make your life better. This is how Biden will create a terrifying future. You pick which of these two you want. And if they drive it hard enough, and they make Biden defend all this stuff that he says. He apparently would legalize 11 million people almost overnight. The Democrats, 207 House Democrats voted for Pelosi's $3 trillion bill that would give $1,200 to every illegal immigrant. How many Americans do you think believe it's smart to encourage entering the country illegally so you can get your $1,200?
Right.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff we can pin them to. And by the way, Biden has promised to sign that bill.
Goodness.
So that's the kind of stuff we can pin them to that I think just melts their support pretty dramatically.
Exactly. I love the point you make, too, about having too many consultants in. It's like they feel as though they need to bring something new to the table, and they create a situation where one doesn't exist. You just stick to the fundamentals, and not just with the illegal immigration and rewarding illegal entry, but the tax rates that Biden is proposing. My goodness. And the lack of concern for law and order and his ineffectiveness and really refusal to stand up to communist China. All of these are huge issues that the administration could get him on, which I know you get into your book, Trump and the American Future. We're talking with Newt Gingrich, Solving the Great Problems of Our Time. I want to play this soundbite. I know you're familiar with it, Mr. Gingrich. I want to make sure that our audience hears it because you had a great response to this on Twitter, and I want to explore that. This was Ilhan Omar just yesterday talking about the need to remake the United States. Listen.
As long as our economy and political systems prioritize profit without considering who is profiting, who is being shut out, we will perpetuate this inequality. So we cannot stop at criminal justice system. We must begin the work of dismantling the whole system of oppression wherever we find it.
An odd statement for a sitting member of Congress to make, considering they take an oath to uphold the Constitution, and incredibly ironic, considering there are six figures, hundreds of thousands of dollars that her campaign has now given her new husband's consulting firm when she talks about transparency with money. But I love, we're talking with Newt Gingrich, whose new book, Trump and the American Future, is out. I love, Mr. Gingrich, your response to this. Ilhan Omar was born in Mogadishu, spent part of her childhood in a refugee camp. She and her family were accepted by the United States, and in one generation, she's become a Congresswoman. Why is she so angry at America? Gratitude might have been better than rage as a response. But it is that remaking, because this isn't a protest. This is the left's revolution. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think she's a fascinating case study because we know that Somalia is a mess, has been a mess. We know that her role as a woman in Somalia would be dramatically more limited and difficult than here. And you have to wonder, it's almost a psychological problem. But you're right, she somehow became part of the left. The left hates America, has always hated America. Part of the challenge we have, and I wrote about this in my newsletter, which is free at Gingrich 360, and I did a piece on three generations of brainwashing, because it really goes all the way back to Herbert Marcuse at Berkeley in the early 1960s. And you've gotten every generation since then has become more radical, more anti-American. The number of professors who identify as Marxist is about 20 times the number who identify as Republicans. And these people get up every morning and they think their mission in life is to profoundly, fundamentally change America. And you look at Venezuela, you look at what happened to Argentina, you look at Cuba, and you have to wonder, what planet do these people live on? But and she's a perfect case study because she has profited from the system in so many different ways. You sort of think she ought to just relax, go on vacation. But part of her shtick is being this outrageously angry. And my point is, people who are that angry have, one, have a psychological problem, but two, why is she here? I mean, if America is this terrible, I am sure Mogadishu would welcome her with open arms, and she would have a triumphal reentry if she wanted to go to, she could improve Mogadishu.
Yeah.
But she won't, of course, because the truth is that Somalia would be much more hostile to her than is Minnesota.
Well, definitely so. Your book, Trump and the American Future, you get into what we have actually at stake coming up here in November in 2020, which seems insane that we're so close to this. Not to engage in hyperbole, and I know this is almost said of every single election, but considering everything that we've seen in the streets, the rhetoric that we've heard from a party that used to always put its moderate foot forward, now you can tell that the super far left, that's the policy, that's the platform, they're running things. What is at stake? I'm trying not to be a cynic, but I feel as though liberty is at stake coming up in 2020. And as I've said, I know that's been so often discussed with every election, but I honestly think that this is the election of elections. And you discuss these stakes in your book. Last question for you.
Yeah.
Lay out what really we need to keep in mind going into November as you write in your book.
I wrote Trump and the American Future because I believe this is the most consequential election since the two Lincoln elections of 1860 and 1864. I think the difference between a world defined by Biden, Pelosi, and Schumer, and a world defined by Trump and McConnell and McCarthy, the difference is so enormous. I think they will, in fact, use the power of government, just as Biden announced that he was going to use the government to go after the nuns on the contraception issue, which you have to think is almost weird. But they have a compulsion to be totalitarians. They're already showing it on campuses. They had a young lady who was almost driven off of Marquette University for having indicated she liked Donald Trump. So you're not just talking about people who are worried about homophobia or they're worried about racism. They are going to try to coerce this country into being exactly what they decide we should be. And they're prepared to punish us if we don't do what they want. Now, that's what's at stake. I mean, if you want to have a classic America where you have freedom, where the Constitution matters, and your rights come from God, the only possible vote in November is Donald Trump. If you're willing to have an America which is stunningly anti-religious, largely anti-American, despises the police, loves the criminals, then you ought to vote for Biden and the Democrats, because that's what they're doing. I mean, we just had 152 Americans shot in New York and Chicago in one weekend. And the Democrats have become the party that believes in releasing criminals, ideally not even arresting them, abolishing the police, and creating a vacuum in which predators engage in violence. I mean, it is really, truly astonishing. And, of course, the propaganda media, which has replaced the news media, does everything it can to protect the left and to attack Trump. So it's much harder today than it would have been 20 or 30 years ago to have this fight, because you know that most of the media is actually the dedicated agent of the people who would destroy America.
Which is frightening. No longer the watchdog for the people, indeed. The book is Trump and the American Future, Solving the Great Problems of Our Time. Newt Gingrich, always a pleasure. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Thanks for your time today.
Take care.
And you too. Take care. We have more in store, folks. And coming up in our next hour, because we have another hour on the way, we have more cancel culture, of course. But the latest was school reopenings, masks. What are colleges going to get? What are they going to do? And also getting your degree online. Maybe is it time to start rethinking the way we're educating kids?
It's the Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I was waiting and I didn't hear it. I didn't hear nothing. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Gator oil salesman. Florida man and his sons were charged after they were busted selling a fake coronavirus cure. Mark Grenon and his sons are facing a maximum of 14 to 17 years in prison in St. Petersburg. They were selling a bleach-like chemical mixture as a miracle cure for the Rona. Not allowed. Not allowed at all. More of the show on the way. Stick with us.
But I want to make it very clear that what is not the intent of CDC's guidelines is to be used as a rationale to keep schools closed. We're prepared to work with each school, each jurisdiction, to help them use the different strategies that we propose that help do this safely, so they come up with the optimal strategy for those schools.
Gosh, I'm already tired hearing him speak. Oh my gosh. Does anybody else want to fall the hell asleep after? I mean, I'm sure he's a lovely person. I'm sure he like helps, you know, animals that are like in the wild that have broken arms or something and picks them up, nurses them back to health. I don't know. I'm just, I hear him talk and I'm like, I am asleep. Jiminy Christmas. Welcome back to the show. Third hour, DanaLash.com, channel 240 of Pluto TV. I think schools need to reopen, and I don't think kids need to wear masks because that's stupid. I mean, unless you're giving everybody an N95 and a face shield. Have you seen face shields? Those aren't cheap. That's dumb, too. But it is basically like having a buffet shield around your face all the time. You're a walking buffet. Yeah, you got a sneeze guard. That's exactly what it is. Oh, my goodness. So wherever, whenever we have this, who knows? I hope that schools stay open, though, and that everybody goes back, because I can't imagine how everybody's lives have been. I can't imagine med students. Some haven't been able to complete residencies, etc. I can't even imagine how this is going for them. So there have been, I've got a couple of things I want to touch on. Small Business Association data from them, they show that the Paycheck Protection Program is supporting more than 51 million jobs across the country and protecting about 84% of all small business jobs in the United States. This is bad news for Joe Biden because he doesn't want to talk about any of this situation. He didn't want to talk about this. And the other data as well. I know, and yes, the billionaires who get loans while small businesses went bankrupt, that's bad. It would have been great if the brain trust that put all this together would have said, let's have small businesses do it and not like Yeezy or who are the other, Planned Parenthood. Seriously, they make a ton of money. So more of our tax dollars went to that. Media Matters. Yeah, the Media Matters. Why the hell is my tax dollars going to the lotion, my bunions, George Soros outlet? Biden's looking to curb the economic damage with a Buy American plan. He's totally copying off of Trump at this point. Yeah. He criticized Trump's response and says, we're going to have a Buy American provision. And that's all. He already came out with that months ago. Right. And?
Years ago.
I mean, good on you for, agreeing with a Republican, I guess. Hey guys, I got a new plan that's totally brand new. It's Buy America plan. So no one's ever thought of it before, ever. Do you have that soundbite from him that I sent you at some point last night?
Yeah.
What is it, 14? Is it 14 or is it 17 or what the hell is it?
It's a lot of them.
Which is the one I put you one? This is my problem. I put these soundbites in. I have to lean back. Oh gosh, help us. Yeah, play 14, because every single one of them are the same. They're all insane.
The storm we're facing today is unlike any we've seen in our lifetimes. More than 130,000 people dead.
Duh.
Dead.
Duh.
Because of the coronavirus.
Duh.
Columbia School, medical school, is saying that there'd be, if he had acted several months earlier, just 1 week earlier, there'd be 36,000, I think it was, fewer people dead.
I just need to take a nap now. This is all.
January 31st was the literal travel ban on China.
It's the dead.
Against everyone's
He
wishes.
Makes it two words. Dead.
Two syllables.
Wait, there's more. With the purchase of one crazy Biden, you get another crazy Biden. Because that was 14, but there's more. Because what this is him, 21, where he's... I don't know. I think I need to play all of these. Let's start with 21, because that's where he's like, yeah, defund the police. Sure.
Surplus military equipment for law enforcement. They don't need that. The last thing you need is an up-armored Humvee coming into a neighborhood. It's like the military invading. They don't know anybody. They become the enemy. They're supposed to be protecting these people. So my generic point is that...
Do we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that we also need to be
what
doing...
What the hell is asking him these questions?
Is that a robot?
This makes my head hurt. I've been dealing with a migraine since last night, and this makes my head hurt more. More than the bright lights.
Do we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
What the hell?
Can I hit robots and it not be assault?
Point is that...
Do we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
Like a speaking spell is asking that. Stephen Hawking was asking that.
Do you remember
that.
Those things that you had? What were they called? It was like a laptop. I remember I had one, but it was like something that you could play games on, and it was just like black and white or gray and brown. I don't know what the hell ever. And you could do math problems, and it sounded like this.
Yeah.
It wasn't a speak and spell, though. It was the generic version of whatever that was.
Right.
It wasn't
spell and speak.
Spell and speak. Speaking and spelling. Oh, boy. So he's totally fine with defunding the police. Remember, his handlers were trying to very carefully make sure that he was the law and order guy. Well, that's all to hell. Now you got, and then this one, audio soundbite 19, more Biden. Good.
If we can spend $50 billion doing the things we're doing on other things, from tax cuts to the military, we sure in hell can make that investment in looking for cures, getting the best scientists in the world engaged and focusing on those things.
So the first part was the most Zoolander thing I've ever heard of. Can I hear it again? This is the first part.
Right.
I'm just going to have a drink of my Lee Croy here.
19, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spend $50 billion doing the things we're doing on other things, from tax cuts to the military.
We're doing things. If we can just add the money for those things and put them towards these other things, so great.
Quit putting this cost as though a tax cut is somehow a cost.
Test cuts are costly.
No, not at all.
Vote for me, Biden Joe. Audio soundbite 20. There's more. I just want to make fun of him the rest of this hour.
There's a need for fundamental change in us being able to have transparency, be able to have access to the records of police when they have misconduct charges against them, to be able to know where they are, so they can't go from one police department to the next. That should be held in my administration. That information will have to be made available
for
to
people.
The Justice Department and held in a file, so
held
you'll be able to track
physical file. And then there's audio soundbite 17. This is my favorite.
It is an up-armored hump. All Humper. The talk the last 20 years about driving down the rationale for unions, all of a sudden, this phrase, everybody's been woked. Well, guess what? The rest of the working class people in America have been awakened.
They're all woked, too. They got woked. Other people also are woked. Yeah.
That's double past tense.
But there's 18 also. Don't forget that one.
Can't believe it.
Yeah.
More?
There's more.
And my team and your team are already working closely together to light up the path forward here. Critical laws like the PRO Act to strengthen collective bargaining. On politics like prevailing and... I'm taking too much time, but, you know...
Just can't speak. Time's taking because of the speaking.
Oh.
Whoo! Vote for me, Biden Joe. Gorder. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Dead. Really? Is anybody worried about a Trump-Biden debate?
Not at all.
I don't stand in line.
I mean, Biden's
But
worried.
I'd stand in line for that.
Biden's worried. Biden's people are worried.
Does he know to be worried?
Not really. That's why his people are worried.
You're going to physically go up on stage and talk. Yeah, he's in my ear.
Can you imagine his flashcards? Got like corn pop and leg hair.
Oh my gosh. I can't. It's just so... I'm not making fun. I am. Audio soundbite 23. So this guy's the dumber version of Joe Biden. Robert O'Rourke, the Irishman who likes to portray himself as being Hispanic, he I think he was so excited that someone was like, I wonder what Robert O'Rourke thinks. Because no one says that. And he was so excited that someone thought to ask him his opinion on something. Listen to Joe Biden's gun control czar.
In some way, we have tacitly accepted this historic, tragic level of gun violence in America that continues to rise. And we saw that just over the weekend in many American cities. It's that same kind of death cult mentality that asks us to accept one quarter, 25% of the world's COVID cases, one quarter, 25% of the world's COVID deaths, though we represent only 4% of the globe's population. That is absolutely unacceptable. And everything that you just read from her is absolutely ridiculous and on its face, stupid.
I'm just going to say some words here to fill this rest of the segment out. Stupid and on its face, some other things, you know. I've taken up too much time. Death cult. What did he call it?
Death cult. Yeah.
Death cult. No. He had. It was. Hang on. It was death cult mentality. I would think that the death cult mentality is a grown ass man who dresses as a furry and drives drunk and almost kills people and then tries to flee the scene. Yeah, I mean that's what I would think. Beto O'Rourke strikes me as the type of guy who would hang around outside of Planned Parenthood in the hopes of getting a date.
Oh man.
Right? I mean, he's married now, but I'm just saying, like, back in the day.
Right.
Right? He seems like that guy. Ugh. Just, you know. Ugh. All right. That's all. I mean, really, can you go anywhere else after that? No, you can't. That's pretty much it. Anyway, we have more to come. Because, let me pull this up for you. I have, there's a million other things I want to make sure that we're hitting. The mask shaming in school reopenings. J.K. Rowling has done more to push back against female appropriating social justice warriors than the GOP. We're going to talk about that, the Veep sweepstakes, and a lot more, including the consumer habits of buying American. I don't know about you, but I have tried to buy made in communist China products as much as possible. And it makes me mad every single time I have to go and spend like an hour down the rabbit hole researching something to make sure it's actually not manufactured in China. We'll discuss that and lots more.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
One of the businesses that took Paycheck Protection Program money, Fusion GPS, doing business as Bean LLC, they got approved between $350,000 and $1 million in Paycheck Protection Program dollars. Unbelievable. Weekly jobless claims, or jobless claims at better than expected, 1.3 million. Total getting benefits falls to 18 million, according to CNBC. Washington Post has a piece titled, America is running short on masks and gowns and gloves again. Well, maybe if you didn't classify masks as medical devices, it would be easier for companies to make them and get them out and turn it around more quickly. Just FYI, that might be, you know, instead of, no, but heaven forbid somebody actually ask that question. Kanye West tweets and deletes something about Planned Parenthood. He shared a screenshot of a Google search asking, what does a six-month-old fetus look like? And in his, now it was captured by everybody on Twitter, so it said, these souls deserve to live. He tweeted it, and then he deleted it. So, interesting, though. Crime Research on Twitter. It's the Crime Center Research. They said that the new concealed carry report for 2019 shows 18.66 million permit holders, despite 16 constitutional carry states, over 1.4 million more than last year, which is really awesome because a lot of people, they're carrying. They're afraid. Organizers of the Facebook advertising boycott called a meeting with Mark Zuckerberg, and they walked away saying that it was a disappointment, which is what their mom said. Also, I have more. I want to make sure I get all of these in. The New York police, NYPD, limits retirement applications amid a 400% surge this week. 400% surge. Unbelievable. Also, Chief Justice John Roberts was reportedly hospitalized last month after a fall. He suffered a fall at the Maryland Country Club last month that required an overnight stay in the hospital. And, I mean, he's apparently okay, but it was serious enough to require sutures. So they observed him, and then they released him the next day. U.S. Broadcasting Agency is not going to extend visas for its foreign journalists. This is according to a couple of different sources. Dozens of foreign journalists working in the media for the U.S. Voice of America, the federal government's international broadcaster, are not going to have their visas extended once they expire. Those people, each with current or past ties to the agency, say the new CEO of the U.S. Agency for Global Media signaled he will not approve these extensions. Okay, Ann, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And I'm sure this isn't going to screw up any kids' lives at all. Singles are having kids with strangers as a part of this co-parenting trend, reports the New York Post. Yeah, which, how in the world is this good for, like, kids? It's not. They're skipping love and marriage and going right to the baby in a carriage. That's how the piece starts. And it talks about these people having kids with just strangers just and doing this co-parenting thing because it's like the hip new thing to do. It's like getting a teacup puppy or something. Stick with us. We have more in store.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Engage in a discussion. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ, if that's who you believe in, Jesus Christ, admittedly was not perfect when he was here on this earth. So why are we deifying the founders of this country, many of whom owned slaves? And in the Constitution, the original one, they didn't want, they put slavery in there that slavery should be abolished because it was the way the king wanted. And then the Congress said, no way.
That's not exactly how it all happened. It's Don Lemon on CNN. Guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. At D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. 248 Pluto TV via the first. My book, Grace Canceled, is a really hard hitting physically on someone's head book looking at grace and biblical stuff. Well, Don Lemon's wrong because that's actually an unchristian, anti-biblical, blasphemous thing that he just said. In fact, Jesus was the only person ever on earth who was perfect. The end. End of discussion. Not up for debate. But to try to say that, well, Jesus admittedly wasn't perfect, so why are we deifying founders of this country? What do those two things have to do with each other? Like I said, Jesus was perfect. It's unbiblical, anti-Christian, and blasphemous to say otherwise. But what does that have to do with the argument that why are we deifying founders in this country? This is exactly plays into the piece that I wrote, It's Not a Protest, It's a Revolution, at danalash.com. See, the goal is to present the founders as being these flawed people. And because they're flawed, they can't do anything great. And thus, their flaws shame by association the founding of the country. So if they're flawed, then the founding of the country is flawed. And everything on which we base our freedoms and beliefs, those are flawed too. So we have to start over. In fact, it's precisely the opposite that we're arguing. No one's deifying the founders. And again, those two statements that he said are so not even remotely related. I don't know why he felt the need to throw out a blasphemous non sequitur before a completely unrelated statement, but okay. CNN. No one's deifying the founders of the country. In fact, what people are saying is that, yes, everyone is flawed, except for Jesus. Everybody's flawed. Jesus is perfect. And is the argument that because someone is flawed, nothing good can ever come from them? Because that seems to be the unspoken discussion here. That's the premise that is not being stated in those terms, but that's the premise nonetheless, that because the founders were flawed, nothing good can ever come from them. There's an anti-redemption movement in this country. As I wrote in Grace Canceled, there's an anti-redemption movement, anti-grace, anti-reconciliation. The idea is that you can never be redeemed. You can only be judged by your worst moment. And because you can never be redeemed, Forgiveness is wasted on you. Reconciliation is wasted on you. And it's always the individuals who themselves think that they're so perfect that are usually the most flawed, that believe themselves to be the perfect arbiter of the situation. But that's what Don Lemon is saying here. No one is arguing that the founders were perfect people. No one's comparing them to Christ, except for Don Lemon. But this unspoken premise that because they have their flaws, the founding is therefore illegitimate, is a logically invalid argument. And if you want to put it in the context of Christianity, it's also unbiblical and anti-Christian to assume that people who are flawed cannot be called to greatness. It ignores the gospel rule that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. That's the whole thing. It's about his glory, not your own. And again, when you're meeting Paul on the road to Damascus, someone who murdered, persecuted how many Christians, and is called to become the most important voice for young Christianity at the time, was one of the biggest defenders of the faith. It's pretty unbelievable, but it showcases the power of God's strength and forgiveness, redemption and reconciliation. Because if redemption is off the table for some, it's off the table for all. And that just further fuels division. But that's what they're arguing. That's why they're arguing it. They want you to discount the liberty you have because the people who drafted documents affirming it were flawed people. I don't care if someone else is flawed. That doesn't mean I don't have my right of free speech. I don't care if someone else is flawed. It doesn't mean that I don't have my right to pursue happiness or to worship how I choose or to bear arms. That has nothing to do with it. It's understood that everyone's flawed. But what's also understood is that you can have good and bad and good, because nuance exists. We're in a dangerous era wherein everyone views things in absolutes, which, if you remember Yoda's warning on that, only the Sith do it. But it's true. All right, I have to share with you. Oh, my goodness. This is the... What did I say about this yesterday, this story? I said that it's like the perfect encapsulation of everything that is wrong with white progressive virtue signaling. Lady Antebellum, remember them? They changed their name to Lady A. Okay. Well, then they come across this other artist, a black woman from New Orleans, who has been going by the name of Lady A for like over 20 years. And she has a new album out this month. She's from Seattle, but she's down in New Orleans or something. So, Lady Antebellum, no one asked, no one said anything. They decided to virtue signal and act as though they were so holy. We are Lady Antebellum, and we love black people so much, we are going to change our slave name, Lady Antebellum, to Lady A. So they just like changed it. They changed their Twitter account. And then, oh, look, here's a woman who says she's been using it for 2 decades. Problem. Like, nobody with Lady Antebellum, they spent all their time virtue signaling, and instead of actually spending money on a proper attorney to maybe look into some of these matters for them. So Lady Antebellum decided to talk with Lady A and see if they could, you know, maybe work out something. Well, she ended up saying that, okay, well, we can work out something. I want what I am worth. I want what my name's worth, which I think is perfectly reasonable to ask. I always tell people, never, ever be afraid to ask your worth. Ever. So they decided to be aggressive, and they came out into the media yesterday saying that they have filed a lawsuit against her for her name. They applied for the trademark of the name, And they were trying to say, well, we applied for the trademark in 2010 and we got the trademark and nobody filed opposition. Yeah, okay, well, maybe it's because that doesn't necessarily mean that your cause is proven. It just, she's used hers in commerce clearly earlier than you have. And that's ultimately what can be contested. So now they said that they are suing her, and they're like, we were so nice to her. Like, we were even going to write a song with her that could have been released as a joint single. But, you know, she wanted millions of dollars in payment, and so we reluctantly filed a trademark lawsuit against her, which I think is nothing says I love black people and I'm going to virtue signal harder than Lady Antebellum suing a black woman for using the name she has used for 2 decades. Wow. So that's what they're doing. And she's literally been releasing and selling music under her name for decades. And I don't know how long they were engaged in these negotiations. Apparently it wasn't long, but they said we were even writing a song with her, and apparently her people were like, what?
Right.
I mean she's identified herself as this for a really long time. So there you have it. I cannot even. This is the story of every white progressive trying to virtue signal. Everyone. And then you have Dixie chicks who come out and they're like, well, yeah, we don't care what anybody thinks of us, says the group that just hurried up and changed their name and then virtue signaled about changing their name because they were so concerned about what people done thought of them. Mm-hmm. Good heavens. I've never really listened to Lady Antebellum, and I'm really happy for that because they seem annoying. Right? Like, I don't even have to listen to your music and I can just kind of get a general idea of you. And I'm can be like, no, mm-mm. No, Lady Antebellum is like what suburban teens listen to and pretend that they're country. I'm redneck. I listen to Lady Antebellum, but I live in the Los Angeles suburbs. That, you know what I mean? That's like, they're for those people.
Lady A, though.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Now it's Lady A. They took that name from that black woman. Mm-hmm.
Stole it.
Yeah, they stole it. They appropriated it. How very antebellum. Right? Good night. This is progressivism. This is progressivism. It is, I saw this headline last night. I was like, no way. No way. Oh, yeah way. Mm-hmm. Totally. I don't know if they're going to, I don't see them. Why would you do this? Why would you even do this? I mean, do you know how bad this looks? They were so worried about the optics of having the name Lady Antebellum. Literally no one said anything. Now they've sued a black woman to try to appropriate her name. Really weird move for a group that was super concerned about the optics of slavery. Right? I cannot be the only person in this boat looking around here going, we need a bigger boat. This is crazy.
It could be the label, though. It could be the
No, I don't think so because the band was like, hey, everybody, y'all, we done changed our name from Lady Antebellum to Lady A, you know, because we are not racist. So they were really like, you know.
But I mean, the choice to sue and to do all that, I'm thinking it comes from like label lawyers. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like,
yeah, I'm not going to think that.
No?
I just
you
don't
think
like,
it's like
no,
the band
I think it's
members
these people.
Themselves?
I think it's physically them, their
right.
own person.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
That may be true, though. That may be true.
Do any of them play actual instruments, or are they all singers?
That's a great question.
I'm just curious. You know what? Let's look that up. Am I going to find them if I Google them? Or are they going to have, like, scrub Google?
Oh, no.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. Let's see here. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, my gosh. I mean, they are all, like, from now on, their name is going to totally be associated with that. Oh, it looks like one guy maybe plays, and then the other two are singers.
Yeah.
They're those types of musicians. No, I don't play. I'm just, I've never actually touched an instrument in my life. I barely can keep rhythm. I'm a singer. Oh. Hmm. It's already on there. It's, yeah, they're already tied to it forever.
$10 million lawsuit. $10 million.
Do you know how horrible they look now? They look worse than they ever did. Like, at first it would have been like, oh, how unfortunate, maybe. If that's what they were worried about, I don't think there's anything wrong with the name. What?
5 minutes.
Oh. Nobody even said anything about it. Nobody said anything about Dixie Chicks either. Notice how it is all these Democrats, though, that use names like Dixie and Antebellum. I guess they're trying to relive the good old days, right? All the Democrats. The Democrats that want to subjugate all of you, whether it's your gun rights or whatever.
Just remember, right, the name Lady Antebellum was trademarked by them originally back in the day. So they must have had a love for that name, which makes them racist.
But she's the Lady A is saying she beat them, though.
No, I'm talking about the name Antebellum. If they're so upset about that name, they went through all that trouble back then to make sure.
They were never upset about it.
Yeah, you know. So why was it so
I mean, this is what happens when you rush to virtue signal, how can it backfire? Exactly. Oh, man, these people. I mean, they changed their name, and they're now suing a black singer. I mean, but we're allies. The Associated Press says that the feds are worried that jailed Epstein confidant Ghislaine Maxwell might kill herself, so they took away all of her sheets and gave her paper clothes.
Whoa, really?
Girl, you're gonna die. Just saying. You're gonna die, girl. Just FYI. Dang, isn't that how it starts? Didn't they do that with him too?
Right. They totally did.
I think this was the first time we've ever the word suicided is now over. I think they may put that in the dictionary.
Right? So we might just need to keep that Ozzy song kind of on point on the side, you know, just in case. I hope that people get justice because clearly they deserve it. But I'm just saying, if she makes it through the weekend, I don't know.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
So apparently they took away Ghislaine Maxwell's sheets because she's on suicide watch, and they gave her paper clothes. And soon, as Kay noted, we're going to find out what happens when one gets a paper cut across their neck. That's what's going to happen.
A
deep paper cut. We did not realize that these paper clothes were as dangerous as they were. Brian, who knew that being in the exact same prison that Jeffrey Epstein was in and also getting paper clothes that this would happen? Who knew? Yes, yeah, so like, just who knew that someone could hang themselves from such a, you know, literally a bed that they were taller than? Who knew that that could happen?
A 4-foot bed.
Gosh, dang.
Lord.
It's not funny, but oh my gosh, really? We all know it. We're just acting like, you know, they're not going to. Okay, go ahead. Just go ahead, Kane. Today's stupidity.
All right, James Carville. Boy, he went on a rant. And not a bit of it true, but let's take a listen.
Joe Biden will trounce Donald Trump in any debate. What he needs to do is be sure to get a picture side by side so they can see how fit and how trim Vice President Biden is.
Those blonde hairs.
And what a slob that Trump is.
No, Tom Friedman
is dead wrong on this.
And
I'm sure that the Biden people are. They'll have him very well briefed. They'll have the debates. I don't think Trump will show up.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to get fit and trim physically because mentally, damn. Yeah, that's... Folks, DanaLash.com. I'll be back behind the mic with you on Monday. God bless.